We have market reaction to an election that is still being tabulated and new thinking on economic stimulus. I'm David Brancaccio. There's no verdict in the presidential race with dawn upon us here. But is there enough info now for companies and market participants to start repositioning themselves? Among other things, we know the president intends to go to court somehow to limit votes, and already economic policy is being reshaped. Ian Bremmer advises corporate clients on political risk as president of the consultancy The Eurasia Group.
It is very, very unlikely that the Democrats make huge gains in Senate. And of course, that makes it much harder to see really big stimulus. That makes it harder to see an end to the filibuster. It makes it harder to put through some of the more significant legislation longer term that the markets would have been scared of, but also harder to put through all of this relief cash that the markets wanted to see over the past several weeks.
Interesting bet in the stock market as we speak. The S&P future is up modestly, the Dow future down a bit, but the NASDAQ future, this is an index full of technology companies, is up sharply. What might be the bet there?
I think most concerned about all of the various kinds of tech lash that you would have seen if there was a blue wave. Both in terms of increasing taxes, but also more intrusive regulatory policy. Even the left wing of the Democratic Party talking about the need to break up some of these effective monopolies. I think the markets, NASDAQ specifically, reacting to the fact that we definitely know that strong outlier responses to tech companies are virtually inconceivable in a much closer political environment.
Ian Bremmer is founder and president of the political risk consultancy, The Eurasia Group. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Overnight stock markets are mixed, with votes in key states still being counted. In the minutes that followed President Trump's middle-of-the-night statement seeking to contest the vote, the S&P future briefly fell more than 3%, but it's back up now. The Dow future is up slightly, 17 points, and as we say, the NASDAQ future up sharply, at the moment 2.5%. European markets have come back from earlier losses. London is up 0.3% now. Here's Mohamed El-Arian, the chief economic advisor to Allianz.
The reality is that the market was looking for certainty, and instead what the market has woken up to is uncertainty. And that's why you're seeing hesitation. But I want to stress, this is early days.
All right, there's money going into bonds now, with the 10-year yield down a bit, 0.79%. The Associated Press indicates California voters have approved a measure that lets the Ubers, Lyfts, and DoorDashes of this world keep their business model for gig workers, which can now remain independent contractors, who will have more flexibility but fewer company benefits. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
The passage of Proposition 22 ends a year-long battle that threatened to upend the very business model of major gig economy companies. Lawmakers wanted to force them to provide independent contractors benefits, such as sick leave and unemployment insurance. The change was forecast to cost Uber and Lyft $400 million each in employee expenses. Neither company is profitable. Gig companies spent $200 million bankrolling Prop 22. They outspent their opponents, which included labor unions, 10 to 1. Uber and Lyft argued changing their labor practices would force them to cut 80% of drivers and potentially exit the California market altogether. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
In New Jersey, South Dakota, and Arizona, voters have now approved the recreational use of marijuana, although there will still be planning periods in each state before legal sales begin. Now to what was spent in the campaigns and what might be spent in post-election legal fights, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
In the election of 2020, records were broken.
It's a lot of money this year. It's just a lot.
Pete Quist directs research at the nonpartisan campaign finance tracking organization FollowTheMoney.org.
This is the most expensive election we have ever seen.
Nearly $14 billion will be spent by the parties and campaigns this year, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. That's more than double what was spent in 2016.
It's the Democrats who are the big winners in the money race.
Dartmouth government professor Linda Fowler says Democrats have done particularly well with small donors through the online platform ActBlue. But she says the Republicans' Win Red donor website has also raised large sums.
Even though this price tag of $14 billion total for everything is so high, small individual donors are about 22% of the givers.
Democrats still have a substantial war chest left over following the election. The Trump campaign is appealing to donors to keep giving, with automatically recurring donations through mid-December. For what? Well, to pay campaign bills that are still coming in, and to fund potential litigation that could drag on. Chara Torres-Spellacy teaches election law at Stetson University in Florida.
Going into presidential elections, it is not uncommon to have a small army of election lawyers in your back pocket. 2020 is probably on the extreme end.
Republicans and Democrats went to court in multiple states before the election over voting rules in the pandemic. And President Trump has threatened to bring post-election legal challenges, which could keep a lot of lawyers on the clock. There's precedent here, says Princeton political historian Julian Zelizer, the disputed election of 2000 between George W. Bush and Al Gore.
You have to have a war chest that will basically take you through December. It's not just to pay for lawyers, but to even pay for a political team to keep the cause up. They don't want to be the campaign that's caught unprepared for the post-election day challenges.
And Zelizer says money left in a candidate's coffers after that can be handed over to the party or used to jumpstart the candidate's re-election campaign. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.